Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
I want to teach you on how to defeat your giants. Hallelujah. How to defeat them. When I was preaching yesterday, did you notice that you are fighting at least one or two giants in your life? All right, so it's time to defeat them. Hallelujah. It's time to get rid of them. They must come out of your life. Amen. Can I hear a warm amen?
Amen.
Can I hear a hot amen?
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I hand over this service unto you. Take over, my Father. Set your people free. Let there be liberty from today. I invoke the operations of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Is the oil here? Powerful. I'm going to anoint you today before we go. And after today, you'll be a giant slayer. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, come quickly to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. And verse 32. When you get home, you can read the whole chapter. It's very interesting. In fact, read chapter 13 and 14 when you get home. But for the sake of time, I will just start on verse 32. Numbers chapter 13. Asemanda kabala mandura bashandiri bakandiri kada rebandara basondoro boshandiri bi ramandiri bokorandara basandi robokoramandiri bokorandiri bida rakandiri bokorondoro bosianda rekandara bakorondoro boshanda rekamara mandiri boshiandiri bise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 13, verse 32. Are we there? And they brought up an evil report. So just to give some context, if you remember yesterday, I told you that God promised Abraham that I will give your children the promised land. Do you understand? And so as they were approaching the promised land that God had promised them, they asked Moses that, can we go and spy out the land to check what is there? Hallelujah. So they went for 40 days. And this is what they said when they came back. And they came and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children. The rain is busy raining on me. Hallelujah. I'll start again. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the word of God. All right, this morning when I was praying, I felt that the Lord wanted me to, because yesterday I skipped this part because it was getting dark, but I feel that the Lord wants me to say it. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes, or let me rather put it this way, the land that God had promised them, the land that was supposed to be a blessing for them and their children and their children's children, that particular land, when they went there, the Bible says that they said, we saw the giants there, the children of Anak. Are you listening to me? So sometimes you end up fighting giants because of the environment where you are. Giants sometimes are, let me say it this way, giants are territorial. There are some territories that are full of giants. And sometimes you have a child, very nice child, well behaved, doing everything well, and they go to a particular school only to find that that school is loaded with giants. All of a sudden, this child that is nice, well behaved, doing everything well, because of a certain environment, the character, the attitude, everything changes. Are you listening to me, somebody? Sometimes everything in your life is going well. You get a job, you relocate to a certain environment. When you get there, unknown to you, it is a land of giants. And even though you went for a good thing, for a job, all of a sudden your life turns upside down. Because you have gone to a territory that is loaded, that is a stronghold for giants, and you don't know. In the Bible, we see in the book of Genesis, you can just write it down, you read it at home. Genesis chapter 13, you can read the whole chapter. The Bible starts out that chapter by letting us know that Abraham was a rich man. After some years of following God, God had begun to bless him and he had become a very wealthy man. Abraham had become so wealthy that he had an army of 300 people in his house. Are you understanding? To have an army is very expensive. When COVID-19 hit in 2019, Ramaphosa released the army to ensure that we stay home. Do you remember? And they were just moving around. I saw some of them when we went to the shops, just moving around to ensure that we don't break the laws of COVID-19. Now, I saw somewhere some of the soldiers complaining that they've brought us here and they are not feeding us. They are not taking care of us. Because it is expensive to have an army. Now, Abraham had an army that he was taking care of, feeding them, feeding their families, paying salaries, 300 men. So he was very blessed. And then the Bible continues to say that Lot, his nephew, was also very wealthy. And the both of them were so wealthy that they couldn't stay in one place because their wealth was in livestock, cattle, cows, and everything. So they had too much wealth that they couldn't stay together in one place. So Lot went to Abraham and said, "Sir, even our headsmen are fighting each other now." I think it's Abraham who said this. And Abraham said that, "Mr. Lot, I want you to decide where you want to go. If you choose right, I will go left. If you choose north, I will go south." Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw beautiful land, green. And he said, "Wow, my cows are going to eat nice here. My sheep are going to eat nice here." Not knowing that he's choosing Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me tell you, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah as a wealthy man. When he left Sodom and Gomorrah, all he had was the clothes that were on him and his two daughters. All his wealth gone. Everything he had attained, everything that he had achieved, everything that he had worked for, gone. Why? Because he went to a wrong environment. Are you listening to me? So you have to be very, very careful because giants are territorial. Whenever you get a job, don't just be excited. Sense in your spirit, is this thing coming from God? Are you here? Yeah. Am I talking to someone? When you are looking for a school for your children, don't just say, Marke told me about this school. Don't listen to Marke. Listen to God. Because that school could change the life of your child and become something totally different. Someone say, giants are territorial. Say it louder, giants are territorial. Hallelujah. Do you want to be like Lot? You go to an environment and you look, even he lost his wife there. He lost everything. In Genesis chapter 19, when you get home, read it, you'll see. He lost everything. He had zero. Hallelujah. Yeah. Even when you travel, don't just go there and just sleep. Pray before you sleep. Because you don't know what is in that environment. That's why me, I like to sleep at home. I don't like sleeping at other people's places. I don't want to come and fight your giants. Fight your own giants. I'm fighting my own ones. Hallelujah. Yeah. I don't just move unless I feel in my spirit that I can move. Because I could be going to fight. I mean, I told you one time I went, when my aunt, one of my aunt was still alive. She was living in Joburg. And when I got a job in Joburg, I went to stay with them. When I went to sleep, I saw things in the house. I said, I'm leaving this place. Instead of me sleeping, I was casting out demons. Hallelujah. Be careful. Be careful. Don't just jump for everything. Otherwise, you can find yourself in battles that are very, because some of the battles are very difficult. Instead of loving God, enjoying God, you find yourself fighting battles after battles after battles because you've just moved to the wrong place. Hallelujah. Recently, every time when I fetch my daughter from school, she'll be singing some Christian songs. And then I'll say, where did you learn this song? Did you learn it at church? She'll say, no. I said, where did you learn it? She'll say, I learned it at school. I said, are you sure? She said, yeah, at school. And then as Easter was coming by, she was saying to me, Daddy, what is Easter? And I was still thinking how to answer her. And then she said to me, Easter is when Jesus died, right? I said, yes. I said, where did you learn that? She said, I learned it at school. So I told my wife, I said, hey, this one is saying some dangerous things from school. I think her teacher is a Christian. So I recently went to the school and I asked the teacher, are you a Christian? She said, yes, I'm a Christian. I go to CRC. I said, I like what you're doing. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You just kick your child to any school. You don't know. You don't know what giants are waiting for them there. And I told my wife, I want to encourage the teacher because it's not every parent that will appreciate the fact that. So when I told her, she said to me, every morning we start by prayer. And she showed me these are our prayers. I say, you know, you are doing a great job. Keep it up. I like what I see. Someone say, giants are territorial. Be careful. If you travel with your work, whatever, and they put you in hotels, pray, pray. Bind everything in the environment. Don't just, hey, be careful. Hallelujah. Be careful. You don't want to be like Lot. He went to a certain environment. About a year or two ago, I heard that a member of parliament committed suicide. Went to work with a gun, sat in the office, blew his head off. I was thinking about it. I said, what an honor and a privilege to work in parliament. But that guy didn't know that when he got that job, he'll be so frustrated that he will even want to take his life. When they investigated, apparently the guy was being abused by his boss or something of that sort. just jump. Hey, get the span. Pray. Tell your neighbor, say, pray. In the world, they say, not everything that glitters is gold. Some of it is your death. I will say what I said again, what I said yesterday. Even before you fall in love, Pastor, I'm in love. Okay, I understand you're in love, but before you fall in love, pray. Tell your neighbor, say, pray. I know a guy that I used to work with. He said to me, he showed me some scars on his face. He said, Do you see this guy? I said, yeah. He said, hey, it's the woman that I almost married. When he was going to pay Lobola, he was very happy. The family went with him. After he paid Lobola, the woman changed. When they were fighting, that lady would just anything she can find. World War III in that house. Again, I say pray. Again, tell your neighbor, say pray. Yeah. Falling in love is natural, isn't it? It's normal. But pray. Because you may be entering in something that will give you problems. I just imagine marrying a Sangoma. You and the Sangoma are married. Husband and wife. How? Ask your neighbor how. Because Sangoma, young. When you are sleeping. People do magic out there. Some of the relationships, when I look at them, I say, the people are brave. I said, this is bravery. You are a soldier, I tell you. The relationship that you are in, you are brave. You must love yourself, okay? Yeah, don't go to a place where you can see that you are going to kill yourself. And pray, ask God. God wants to counsel you. God wants to advise you. God will show you when you are running into trouble. He will show you. Hallelujah. Am I talking to somebody? So I want to encourage everybody, pray for your children. Pray concerning the schools that they are going to go to. As they go to different grades and have to change schools, pray about it. Pray. Sometimes there's something called the inner witness. It's a feeling that you feel. Sometimes as you are taking your child to a school, you will just feel, man. When you look at the school, everything looks right. But here, it doesn't feel right. Listen to that thing. Are you listening to me? That thing is called the grace of God. That thing is called the mercies of God. One lady left her work early. And she decided, let me go fetch my child from school early. Let me just go surprise my child. She went there. When she got to the gate, she saw her child going into the transport that normally takes the child. And she said, oh, he's playing with the friends. Let me leave him. And she followed the transport, and that transport was in a head-on collision, and her child died there with many other children. Why do you think God took her out of work early? We must listen to the Spirit. Are you listening to me, somebody? People always say, something told me don't get into that taxi. It's not something, it's God. It's the grace of God. It's the message of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. So pray, okay? Pray. When you get a job, pray. Everything concerning you, pray. Don't just take as though you are someone who doesn't know God. Don't just jump into things as though you are someone who doesn't know God. Pray first. Even if it looks good, tell the Lord. You know, before we moved here, some of my church members were helping me to find a place to get so that we can start having church again. Because of COVID, the school where we were meeting, they said no more churches. And they said, till further notice. Till today, we are still waiting, till further notice. So some of my church members said, Pastor, we will help you look. And then they called me. And then there's a place there in Extension 6. I don't know what it's called. Do you know what? Next to Lucy, next to where you live. Where's Lucy? There's an empty ground there next to where you live. Yeah. Well, what is that place called? Do you know? Ingi? Tabing. Am I saying it right? Do you know it, what I'm talking about? So they called me and said that, Pastor, you can have this place. So I said, I can have it? They said yes. Just some guys, they made me meet some guys there. Then they said, but Pastor, you know, you're going to have to pay some money. And I said, I don't want to pay any money without anything from the counselor. They said, don't worry about the counselor. Don't worry about the counselor. I said, what are you talking about? They said, don't worry. And then they said, I must pay 10,000 rand so that we can get that land. Now, we are not having church. Schools are closed. My mind, I'm dribbled. I don't know what to do, whether to turn left, whether to turn right. And then this opportunity is now coming. So they took me there and they said, no, don't worry, Pastor. We'll even build for you. We'll put a fence for you like this. You just give us 10,000 rand. And I said, but what about the counselor? Because I don't want to now take this land and then the community chases me away. If I have something from the counselor, then I know if someone comes to bother me, I can show them. This is from the counselor. They said to me, let me tell you how we work, Pastor. He said, we will just put a fence. And then when the community arises, we will come and say, no, this is our church. Our church is not going anywhere. Hey! And then they will say, okay, let's call the counselor. And he said, no, don't worry. We will have already spoken to the counselor. And then the counselor will say, okay, since you say this is your church and you all agree, then okay, let's leave the pastor and let's leave the church. Then on the day that, like, let's say today, and then tomorrow I'm supposed to give them the money and everything starts. Something in me was just... So when I went to sleep, I said, Lord, if this thing is not from you, let people arise and let them fight this thing so that it doesn't happen. In the morning, I woke up, prepared myself to go meet the guys to do the transaction. When I say, okay, guys, I'm here, they say, hey, Pastor, let's wait a little bit. Some boys just arose from nowhere and they started fighting us and they said, we don't want any church here. I said, that's enough for me. I don't need any more. No, thank you. Keep your land. You have to listen to that inner man, to that inner voice. After I said no, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, had you went to that land, you are going to die early. I said, hey, thank God. Hallelujah. Listen to him. He is in you. He entered you the day you said, I believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. He's here. Listen to his voice. He will save you from many things. Hallelujah. Now, for a very short time, how to defeat your giants. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Are we there? Your amens have to be louder than the rain. Are you there? All right. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. Now Paul says, the enemy that we are fighting is not flesh and blood. These giants are not flesh and blood. They are unseen beings. They are unseen powers that fight us. So Paul says, for you to be able to wage war, to fight these ones, first, be strong in what? In the Lord. Tell anybody, say, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Because these ones, you don't fight them by, you know, I went to school, I have 2 degrees. You know me, nobody can touch me. No, those ones don't work. Be strong in the Lord. Because these ones is not a physical fight. So you must be strong in the Lord for you to be able to fight these ones and defeat these ones. Be strong in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. 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 And in the power of his might. Then he says, put on the whole armor of God. Can you see there's God, there's Lord, there's God. Be strong in the put on his what? The whole armor of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's the key. Many people cannot fight the giants because they are not strong in the Lord. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't develop their relationship with God. That's the key. There's no magic. There's no magic. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on his all, the whole armor of God. What is the armor of God? The breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you have to be righteous. The helmet of salvation. You have to be born again proper. Ask your neighbor, are you born again proper? What's the answer? Demand an answer. Or are you still one leg in the world, one leg in the Lord? You are still deciding. You are not 100% sure. You like the things about God, but you also like, yo. So you are still in between. You are not strong in him. The amens have gone down. Am I still in church? Yeah. Be strong in the Lord. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. Truth here is the word of God. Are you strong in the word of God? Is the word of God part of your armor when you fight? When you pray, can you even quote? Can you even say, Satan, it is written, it is written? Or you just say, well, wait a certain one trial. He likes that one. Keep it up. One day, I went to church, the church that I grew up in, and I was an usher. So that particular day, I got there late. I can't remember why. When I got to the service, I can't find my usher colleagues. So I move around, looking around in the church. Where are the rest of the ushers? As I was walking, I hear, loose, come out, loose, come out of him. So I go closer and I find my ushers there, casting out demons. I was watching, this demon that was had possessed this individual was a very vulgar one, swearing all the swears you can think of. It was a hip-hop demon. It was talking and as though it's rapping. Yo, man, yo, yo, man, come here, man. Honest to God. I'm telling you the truth. You haven't seen things. One day I went to visit a family, and the Lord said, before you go, pray for every human being in this house. So I said to them, God said, before I go, I must pray for everyone. Then one boy, I laid my hands on him. He fell down. I said, bring him back. I laid my hands. His face changed. He started looking at me angry. I said, why are you angry? And then he said, what are you doing? Then I realized, oh, this is why God wanted me to pray for everyone. So I started casting out the demon. As I was saying, come out, the boy started dancing. In those days, there was a song called Imoti Chonjimal or something like that. Ne? There was a song like that. Hey, it was, he was singing that as I'm praying. Come on, loose! And then you have to serve God. It's nice serving God. Hallelujah. So they're casting out this hip-hop demon from this guy. Only to find that one of the guys who was there is getting angry at the swearing. And he took his, and he beat the guy who they were casting out demons from. Then the demon laughed. And the demon said, hey, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now the demon is quoting the scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, this is not a physical battle. A demon is telling the person. You see, when you are not strong in the Lord, you try to fight things that you know nothing of. You are taking chances. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God. I was praying some 2-3 days ago, and the Lord said to me, spirituality cannot be faked. Spirituality cannot be faked. Let me prove to you. Come to the book of Acts, chapter 19, from verse 11. Acts, chapter 19, and verse 11. The book of Acts, the 19th chapter, from the 11th verse. If you are there, say amen. The Bible says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So here there are some people who saw Paul casting out demons. And Paul was doing it with such ease that even a handkerchief that Paul was holding, if a demon came into contact with that handkerchief, the people will be delivered, or the sickness will come out of the person. So when they saw the ease with which Paul was casting out demons, healing the sick, they decided, we can do this thing. And they found a man who had an evil spirit, and they said, come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. You see, they don't even know the Jesus there. The Jesus whom Paul preaches. The demon said, as for Jesus, we know. And even Paul that you are talking about, we know. But you, who are you? And the Bible says the demon beat them nicely. And the Bible says that they even had to run away. The demons beat them and tore their clothes. The Bible says they ran away naked. Am I still in church or you've gone home? You can't fake it. Tell your neighbor, you can't fake it. It's either you love God or you don't love Him. You can't fake it. Many Christians are faking it. Some years ago, I was in church, and then a certain brother came to me, and he said, you know, when I looked at you, I saw two angels standing next to you. Come, Karabo, quickly. And he said, one of them is just standing like this on you. So this is me, this is the angel, just, and the other one was standing like that. Some people, it's not an angel standing like this, it's a giant. So no, this is my guy, don't worry. It's my guy. Instead of angels surrounding you, giants are just cool in your life. Cool, no fire, no resistance, no nothing. Because you're not strong in the Lord. You don't wake up to pray. You don't read the word. So it's cool. It's a nice life for the giants. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can't fake it by saying amen. Oh, hallelujah. Ujesu mkulu. Modimu kiyo, kiyo. Wahalalela, wahalalela. Wahalalela. Some of them even have that voice. Oh, Jehovah. Demons are not moved by those things. They can see the real ones and they can see the fake ones. They can see. So if you want to overcome the giants of your life, the only true key is God. Drawing closer to Him. Having a good relationship with Him. There's no other way. I wish I can tell you a simpler way. One day, somebody, you know, was talking to my wife, and I can't remember what the topic was. But the person was happy and was saying that, Yazi mamfundisi wami ungithengela utshwala. My mom fundisi buys me alcohol. And the person is saying it with such confidence. Like, you know, my mom fundisi is such a nice person. She even buys me alcohol. When my wife told me the conversation, I said, if I was here, I was going to run away from that mom fundisi. It's a dangerous mom fundisi. That mom fundisi is killing you. Some, even the pastors, some of them are faking it. They don't really love God. We were in a Christmas party somewhere, and then there was one lady, and the way she was dancing to the songs, you know, because you know when you're in a family gathering, you've got everyone there. So they are playing all sorts of songs. And every song that comes out, I see this lady, an elderly lady, and she knows them, even the dances. I say, then my wife came to me and said, do you know that's a pastor's wife? I said, no, it can't be. She said, it's a pastor's wife. While I was still, my mind was still trying to understand, because she knew the songs. She knew them. And she knew the dance moves. While I was trying to understand, somebody was saying, but you're a pastor, eh? And then she said, not, when I'm in church, I'm a mamfundisi. When I'm not in church, I say, oh, Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, you can't fake it. Can't. And the demons know. The giants know. You can shout, ah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ah. They know the true ones. There are some, when they say in the name of Jesus, they shake. There are some, when they say in the name of Jesus, they say, who are you? So you have to develop your relationship with God. Are you understanding? And God will not lower his standards for anybody. Many people, they don't like me because they see, these are the things I say. I could have said, you know what, take. Hey, come out in Jesus' name. I could be saying, go, give it to your who's sick in your house. Give it, pray, learn to pray. Wake up. Oh God, I love you. Oh God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh God, I want to draw closer to you. Oh God, I want to experience your presence. You see, as you seek him every day, then he fills you with himself. And in the spirit realm, they don't see you. They see the one who's in you. And they're not reacting to you. They are reacting to the greater one who is in you. But if you don't, you know, spend that time. There's no giant you'll get rid of in your life. You don't like what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You've been a Christian for long. The only thing you know is John 3:16. So, okay, we know John. Give us another one, please. Tololo. One day, we were in church, and my pastor pointed at a certain lady and said, sister, please close for us in prayer. So we are all closing our eyes, and we were waiting. And you know, when there's nothing coming out, you even, you know, open your eyes. Just, what's going on? And we waited and waited, and I noticed everyone is. The sister couldn't even say, Lord, thank you for this meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Even my 4-year-old can say that, Father, thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. At least. Even if you don't know what to say, so just say, Lord, thank you for this food in Jesus' name. Then we'll interpret it spiritually. No, she's saying, thank you for the spiritual meal that we've received. Because we are spiritual, we'll interpret it spiritually. In a certain church, when people come and say, Pastor, that sister, then the pastor will say, okay, no, calm down. I will check her for you. And what they do is that they say, okay, sister, just close for us in prayer. If it's emptiness and dryness, then say, not there, please look somewhere else. Emptiness, and you can't even pray, you can't even quote one scripture, you can't even speak in tongues, you can't do nothing. And now you want to say, giants, come on, they will just push you. Hello? Every giant slayer, every giant killer was close to God. Everyone. Really deep, intimate, personal relationships with God. This is what empowered them to deal with the giants. The Bible says the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. If you stay in the flesh, you are staying in weakness. If you become spiritual, then you are becoming strong. Many, many people struggle unnecessarily because they stay in the flesh. They don't develop their walk with God. They don't. Recently, I saw a story, and this man of God called Bishop David Oyedepo, and he says that when they were young, maybe about 6-7 years old, in church, they were talking about heaven. And they were saying, heaven is nice. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no pain. It's a beautiful place there. So when they left church, they were talking about, hey, did you hear heaven is a very nice place? Then the other friend said, yeah, no, heaven. Then the other friend said, but why are we still here? Why don't we just go to heaven? Let's just go to that place that is nice. These are 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds talking. And then they looked. You know, when you look far, you know, it looks like that land is ending and the sky is starting. Do you understand? Then they said, do you see there? There's heaven. Let's go. They started running. When people say, hey, boys, where are you going? They said, we are going to heaven. And they were running. But they said, as they were running, they noticed that heaven is going further and further away. They are not getting closer. They are running. Heaven is also going away. They are running. Heaven is going up. They are not getting closer. Until they met an old man and said, where are you going? He said, we are going to heaven. He said, hey, go back home. And they had to go home. When I heard the story, I was touched. I said, if you try to go to heaven through the flesh, it will elude you. You'll keep running and never find it. You'll keep running and it'll be going further and further away from you. You can't find it if you are not spiritual. You can't enjoy the things of the kingdom if you are not spiritual. They are for spiritual people. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Many hordes, masses of people, masses of humanity are trying to get to heaven through the flesh. And many will be shocked. Because the Bible says that wide is the way. And the Bible says many there be that go into it, and it leads to destruction. The Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few are in that particular one. Because people, they love their groovest life. They love, you know, they don't want to lose, you know, that life. They don't want to dedicate themselves to God because they're going to think that, hey, shkia porak bom zalwan. One lady said to me, so you don't drink? I said, no, I don't drink. And she looked at me, confused. So you say you don't drink? I said, no, I don't drink. Then there's a person said, so how do you have fun? How do you have fun? Because people, they think that when you become a Christian, hey, yeah, 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 bora, bodom. And you don't know the excitement, the journey of walking with God. You don't understand it. The more you are holding on to that life, you are losing out to such glory. You don't even understand. If you want to defeat the giants in your life, I'm sorry, there's no shortcut. I wish I can give you a shortcut. Me too, I've tried shortcuts, and the Lord said to me, every time you do a shortcut, you'll start where you began. So I've given up now on shortcuts. I just have to do it. Just every day, Katarbia Protakaya, every day, pray, every day, reading my Bible, every day. That's the only way. There's no other way. Any pastor who tells you of any other way is a liar, is a liar. Ask him, how did you do it? How did you get there? Tell your neighbor, say, I didn't tell you to go on a verse. Why are you on your phone? Which verse are you reading? Ask your neighbor, which verse are you reading on your phone? Please switch off your phones, please. I'm saying some things that will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul, am I preaching? Let's look at a few giant slayers, then we are going to close. Come to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse 31. You know, yesterday you were shouting so nicely. And when I talk about you have to pray, you have to be spiritual. Hey. Thank you, Mom Ruthie. First Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. Are we there? Let me just narrate the story before I... So, Israel and Philistine were two nations that were about to go into war. So the army of Philistine had come, and the army of Israel had come, and they were standing facing each other, about to go into war. Then before the war began, there was a giant amongst the Philistines called Goliath. This giant came and stood in front of the Israelites and said, you know what? Let's not waste time, you know, this war and everything. Here I am. You choose one guy. Let's fight. And the winner wins the war. Do you understand? This Goliath, after he said that, the Bible says that everyone in Israel trembled. They were afraid. Because he's a real giant. Goliath was about 3 times taller than an average human being. Very big guy. And the Bible calls him a champion. So he was muscular. Powerful. And the Bible says, 40 days Goliath came and said, people of Israel, choose one guy to fight me. And the winner wins the war. All 40 days, all the warriors of Israel, nobody had the boldness to go face Goliath. Then David's father called David because 3 of David's brothers were in the army. So David's father said, get some food, go and give it to your brothers because they've been there for a while. So David went there. When he got there, he heard this Goliath calling out someone who will fight him. And David asked a question. I love David. He said, what will happen to the man who will kill this giant? They said that, number one, the king said he will give him one of his daughters. David said, I like it already. What else? He said that, okay. They say that you will never have to pay taxes. Your family will never have to pay tax again. Then while David is still listening, and then his brothers came and said, hey, we rang more. And they wanted to chase him away. And then David said, what have I now done? I haven't done anything wrong. And he continued to speak to the people and say, hey, what's going to happen to the man who kills this giant? These are the news that David was interested in. Then they took him to Saul, to the king of Israel. This is where this one now starts. Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, Mr. King, don't worry. I'm here. Somebody say, I'm here. Yeah. I love David. He said, tell the people not to worry anymore. I'm here. Let no man's heart fail because of this guy. I am here. In other words, your problem is solved because I am here. Somebody say, I am here. I can't hear you say, I am here. Yeah. May all the problems of your family end because you are here. Generational problems, may they end because you are here. In your community, the problems in your community, may they end because you are here. He said, I'm here. Ah, David. Brother David. Next time you get a child, call him David. I think it's a nice name. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So Saul said, you are a young man. Come down. This guy you are about to fight, he was a warrior from when he was young. So come down. You see, many people, when it's time for you to enter your destiny, they'll say, come down. Don't allow yourself to be calm. Somebody say, I am here. Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. You know, for many years, I thought a lion came, he fought the lion and killed it. Then later, a bear came. But when you read, it says, a lion and a bear, they came as partners. Because David was taking care of sheep. And they said, easy meal today. I don't have to chase the impala. Impala is fast. I don't have to chase zebra. Zebra, the sheep are easy. A lion and a bear. He's narrating to Saul. A lion and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. So this lion or this bear, they actually caught one of the small sheep. Verse 35, and I went out after him. Already you are seeing this guy. When you see a lion, you say, Mudimuaga. The Bible says, David said, I went after him. Oh God. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. I didn't even know a lion had a beard. But David said, I held him by the beard and I killed him. And he said, I killed both the lion and the bear. Now what was David doing? He was rehearsing to Saul what happens in his secret place. The Bible says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and pray unto thy father which is in secret. And thy father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So David was accounting the wars he was fighting in secret. And said, I'm a spiritual man. This guy, this Philistine is nothing. I defeated a lion and a bear with my bare hands. As a youth, David was not an old man. He was a young man. That's why we call our youth young but dangerous. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. They are young, but they are capable of a lot. His strength to fight Goliath came from his secret place. His strength, you know, when God was telling me that spirituality can't be faked, because for many times I was asking God, because I listened to a lot of men of God. One man of God, he said he went for a crusade somewhere, and during the night when he was in his hotel, he said I was even in my pajamas when he tells the story. Then he said, I heard some commotion at the reception of the hotel, so I went down. And he said, when he got there, he saw four men with AK-47s pointing at him. Then he said, he looked at them and he said, in the name of Jesus. And when he said that, these guys who were holding guns, he says that I was standing like this wearing my pajamas. And these guys who were holding guns, they said, hey, he's holding a gun, he's holding a gun. And they ran away. I said, God, if I was there and I saw the guns, I was going to hide. Truth. I'm in church. I'm in church. I was going to run away. Machine guns, four of them. I was going to find the closest place I can hide. But this man called the name of Jesus. Lord, how? I was asking God, how? Then he said to me, spirituality can't be faked. This thing comes from inside of you. It's not your mind. It comes from inside. What have you been putting inside? At that time, it will come out. So that's what was happening to David. It's what he's been filling himself with. So when he saw the lion and the bear, it's not David, but the thing that is in him, the person that is in him, went for the lion and the bear. That's how you defeat them. You must empower yourself in secret. Be anointed in secret. Be filled with the Spirit in secret. Some people in secret, they don't speak in tongues. Nompumelelo. Oh, Mudimu. Oh, ngiyakuthanda Nkosi. When the giant has come, you can't be saying, oh, Mudimu. Oh, yeah. The lion in you has to roar. So in secret, you have to learn to roar in secret. You have to learn to fight in secret. God has given me so many challenges in secret. One time, I saw a letter coming from heaven. And when I saw this letter, it was written in purple ink. Beautiful. I cannot explain the beauty of that letter. It was written in a language that I don't know. But somehow when I looked at it, I understood what it was. It was written Olam Banjwa. And I saw this letter taken to hell and given to someone. Eesh. After that day, attacks. Attacks. Spiritual attacks. Sometimes I will wake up and there will be an evil presence. Evil. When I look, I see a person standing in my room. And evil is just coming out of him. And I have to challenge that thing. Hey! I can tell you story after story of the secret battles that I fight. That lift me up in the realms of the spirit. So that I can deal with the enemy. You see, before Jesus could really enter fully into his ministry, the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him unto a mountain to fast 40 days and 40 nights. On the last day, at his weakest, when he was the hungriest, then came the giant and tempted him one-on-one. So sometimes God will allow them to come and challenge you. Because when you defeat them, you go up in the spirit. So you must be empowered in your secret place. You must be empowered. So learn to pray. Do you know why many people don't pray every day? It's in the mind. Oh, nkathele shem. Oh, nkathele. I'm tired. I'm going to work. Tired. If you go with that mind, you will never pray. Never. Never. You have to change that mentality and say, I will pray. I will pray. I was telling the Lord recently that, Lord, one of the things that sickens me is that when I wake up to pray, I feel like going back to sleep. It's a war every day. How many days? Every. And I'm a pastor. It's my job to pray. When I wake up, everything in me says, Emanyana, 5 more minutes. And you and I, 5 more minutes, we know that is an hour, it's 2 hours. Sometimes it even means not waking up, you not pray. But I changed my mind. I said, I will pray. And I'm determined, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm not preaching, whether I come from, I do retreats or whatever, I wake up and pray. Every day I pray. Because I'm determined, my giants must fall. Hallelujah. And I study the word these days. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Ngosiyam. Ngalfundi Bible. Ngalfunda. Futanglal. These days when I'm reading the Bible, I feel like I'm doing this. Is there any revelation here? Is there even anything here? I'm searching. Some people are reading the Bible and say, Hish, as a pastor's on group. It's in Funde Yan. I'm searching, Lord. Is there anything here? This scripture, but it looks like there's something. Let me look at my other Bibles. Let me get my study Bible. Let me check the Greek. Let me check the Hebrew. Let me check. Maybe there's something here. There's something I might not be seeing. And I can spend a week on one scripture. When I try to read on, my spirit says there's something there. And I said, no, man. There's something I'm not understanding here. And I'll read it again. And I'll read it again. And I'll read it again. Then I'll stop. I'll meditate. I'll think about it. What is God saying there? What is he talking about? Then I go back and I check again. And then the light comes. You read it so cheaply and you want to deal with giants. You, when you want to sleep, say, hey, Eriki Bonemo. It's your sleeping pill. It's not something that empowers you. Hallelujah. Amen. One day I was surprised at myself. I sat at 10 o'clock. I sat down, I opened my Bible. I stopped reading at 6. Searching. Some of you, sometimes when I'm preaching the way you are, I say, if only you knew what is coming out of me, what I went through to find it. And you're here in church, you are dozing, you are busy looking at your phone while I'm giving you life. Listen, Langkwatisa, man. Let me cool myself down. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Quickly, I'm almost finished. No, I think I must stop saying I'll preach for a short time. It doesn't look like it ever works for me. Maybe I must start saying I'll preach for a long time, then maybe. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Are you there? These are the apostles. They say, but we will give ourselves continually to what? To prayer and to the ministry of what? Of the word. They say we will give ourselves. It means we are committing ourselves. We are dedicating ourselves. We are covenanting ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Come and see what happened after this. Thousands of souls were won. Even their shadows were healing people. Their shadows were casting out demons. They were raising the dead. You can't kill giants unless you dedicate yourself. And when you spend time with God, you start dealing them with ease. With ease. Without even struggling. There are things that I've seen that are attacking my family. And just because of my relationship with God, I deal with them with ease. With ease. Many years ago, I had a knock at the gate. When I looked, I saw a lady knocking. When I was getting ready, because back then, not these days, but back then, our gate used to be always locked. You never find our gate unlocked. So as I was looking, getting ready to go open for that lady, suddenly she was by the kitchen door, knocking there. Now my mind is still, how did you get in the yard in the first place? While I'm still thinking about that, she's in the passage. And I said, this thing is not a normal thing. I went into my room. I forgot about her. I went into my room and I released prayer. Katopaya kato, rasha padaka, reba kataba. And I cast her out. Later on, the Lord said to me, she was after your brothers and sisters. I wasn't praying about them. I was minding my own business. But because of my relationship with God, I caught it. Very recently, I was sleeping. And then I fall into a dream and I see my brother being involved in a car accident. I ignore it. And then a few days later, I see it again. But this time, the car that bumps him, when he sees that he's now on the floor, he reverses and goes on him again. And to check, and he goes on him again to make sure that he's dead. I tell my wife, I said, something is happening here. We need to intercede for this boy. So started interceding. Then one of my church members said, Pastor, I had a dream. I saw your mother crying. And I said, don't worry, I know why. And I said, it's against my brother, and they want to kill him, take him out to the car accident. And one day I was at work, and my mother called me. And she said, your brother was involved in an accident. Ooh. But she said, he's okay. And I said, thank you, Jesus. You see, when you develop a relationship with God, you yourself become a giant. You yourself. Anyone who tells you anything else is lying to you. There's only one way. Every day, open your Bible, read. Every day, pray. Every day. There's no other way. There is no other way. Even Jesus, the one that who died for us this season, isn't it? He also prayed. He also said it is written. When he was 12 years old, he was sitting with doctors, asking them questions about the word of God, to the point that they wondered, this young boy, how does he understand these things? For him to be a giant that he is, that till today we bless, we worship him. That till today, God says that he gave them a name above every other name. That at the mention of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that he is Lord. How did he do it? From a young age, he was praying. From a young age, he was reading. Praying, reading, praying, reading, praying, reading, praying, reading. He became a giant. So if you want to deal with the giants in your family, the giants in your life, this is the way. And the more you grow closer to God, you even start dealing with giants in your community. I'm believing God. You see, now, recently when I pray, I have to pray for Soshanguve. Because God is now enlarging us. Soshanguve was not in my radar at all. When Paul went to Soshanguve, now when I pray, my God, every power, every principality in Soshanguve, I bind it in Jesus' name. You see, the more you get closer to him, even your community gets to know you by name. I told you yesterday, the women that wanted to kill me, they know me. They were even mentioning my mother's sin name. Sombulal, Sombulal. They were angry and I don't even know them. You get to be known by name. If when your name is mentioned, things shake. If someone takes your picture so that they can bewitch you, when the sangoma sees you, that must be your story. If you learn to just every day spend time with God. Why do you think Moses was shining like that? It's because, 40 days and 40 nights, he's with God. He comes down, and the people are misbehaving. He goes back another 40 days and 40 nights. And after God was showing him the revelation of Genesis, after God was revealing all these things, when he showed me your glory, okay, I'll come, I'll show you. You can't come back and be normal. Can't. So build yourself by spending time with your God. Also begin to shine like Moses. Every time I read that thing, I used to cry. And I said, God, I want what Moses had with you. Then recently God said, you already have it. But your shine, the level of your shine, is dependent on you. The more you spend time with me, the more you shine. The more you spend time with me, the more you shine. The more you spend time with me, the more you shine. If you don't spend time with me, you will not shine. Am I talking to somebody?
Amen.
Let's read the last scripture and then we close. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Puti, am I preaching? Galatians chapter 1 from verse 15. Are we there? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I love Paul. He said, when I noticed and felt the call of God in my life, I didn't go and consult with any human being. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and I abode with him 15 days. So Paul said, after I got born again, I went on a 3-year search and study of God. 3 years. No wonder he was so deep. Paul said that I knew a man, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I don't know, who was taken to the third heavens. Paul is the reason we know that there's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven. He said God took him to heaven. And he said he saw things there that he cannot share with us. He was so close to God that he had trips to go to heaven while he's alive. 3 years. Dedicated himself, studied, searched. What does this mean? Make a note. See, if your Bible is dry, I'm even afraid to. Mom, borrow me yours because I know I gave it to you this morning. If your Bible is like this, No mark, Nothing, Empty. Nothing. Dry. Huh? Hello? Dry. Nothing. This one is new. Some of your Bibles are 5 years old, but it looks like this one. I know you don't like my message, but I'm enjoying what I'm preaching, because I know that if there's someone who's hearing what I'm saying, they'll never be the same again. Say, neighbor, shame on us if our Bible is like this. Shame on us. Shame. Shame, shame, shame. No, say it until they feel the shame. Shame. It's a shame, neighbor. It's a serious shame. I see some of you are showing each other your Bible. Just show it. Say your neighbor so that... Share some notes with your neighbor. Powerful. At least I see some marks somewhere. When you meet in your Bible study groups, just look at your neighbor's Bibles. If you don't see marks, say, neighbor, shame. Shame, shame, neighbor, shame. If you don't have a Bible, the shame is worse. You must hide your face. You don't even have it. You are not. You don't want to be a giant slayer. Can you see yourself? Paul went on a 3-year sabbatical alone, searching, studying. Last year or 2 years ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to go away, book a place somewhere and pray. So for 3 days and three nights, so where I had gone, they kept on coming to check on me. I said, hey, I want to be alone. Leave me alone. When I was leaving and I was checking out, I saw the guy say, thank you, Jesus, thank you. Like, he was trying to be spiritual because he had never seen someone who just comes to pray only. Has never seen it in his life. Well, I'm taking too long, but I'm enjoying my message so much. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you something else. But I showed you the scriptures. You have to seek God so that you can be a giant slayer. And anyone who hears what I'm saying and commits him or herself to the study of God's word, commits him or herself to prayer, I promise you, in the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be a serial giant slayer. You'll be heavy. You'll be dangerous. If you just commit yourself, just every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. I always tell you, I went to Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng's house. Very beautiful home. And we were doing some work there. And you know, I know lawyers. Lawyers, they have books everywhere. Everywhere. Files everywhere. So the work we were doing, I had to go to his bedroom. To my surprise, next to his bed was a Bible. Chief Justice. Ask your neighbor, you are chief what? Who you are chief who? You are too busy to read. You are too busy. Chief Justice, he's the chief. He's the head judge. In other words, all the judges in South Africa, he's the highest one. And his Bible is by his bed. That suggests to me every night before he sleeps, he's searching. When he wakes up, he's searching. Then when if you would hear my message and I'm telling people about what I'm saying. When I was still working, we went to his office. And he had a bookshelf there. And I was expecting to see books on law. To my shock, I saw T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn. I was seeing Christian literature. I said, this guy loves God. In his office. It means that when he's working, he'll say, hey, let me take a break. Let's see what Benny Hinn is saying. And he'll be reading, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. You are chief who? Hey, Pastor, I'm tired from this. You're a joker, my friend. You are playing around. If you are serious about your future, you better rise up. If you are serious about your children, you better rise up. Better rise up. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.